This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by Movement Watchers and HelloFresh.
I love both of those things.
Yes.
I combine them where I can.
Watching a steak.
Yeah, watching a steak, exactly.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Zander. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm also here. Feels good to be here.
Does it?
Yes.
Well, you got to go to work after. How's that feel?
Yeah, nah, it's not
as good. Do people still realize that you work two jobs? Stopping in at this podcast a couple of hours a week.
I mean, and that's true. A full-time actual job.
That's mean of me to say, Mason.
Oh,
you
James.
Also research and Caravan of Garbage and probably other things.
Sometimes I say I'm going to show up at 11:30 and I show up whenever. And look, as a man who lives alone and has no children or responsibilities, you don't understand what it's like to have to get here on time sometimes.
I can appreciate that. I'm constantly late for everything, but it's because of my family.
I mean, you say that now because they're not in the room. Would you say it?
Yeah, I'd say it.
Okay, because I'm bringing your wife and child in here. Now say it to their faces.
It's good.
They'll be silent. Mm. They'll just judge you.
I think it's okay to be late to things sometimes. I think I was like 2 hours late to a barbecue yesterday. My brother's kid had a birthday. I was like half an hour late to that. It was perfect amount of time.
Right, exactly.
Then I would have been there longer at both of those things.
And you wouldn't want to be.
No, Mason.
Exactly.
You want family and friends. Get out of here.
Yeah, yuck.
Yeah. Mason, did you know that Matt Reeves has cast somebody else in his The Batman movie, The Batman?
Is it Peter Skarsgård?
It is, who you may know as...
Nope, that, didn't tell you.
That big-headed dude from Green Lantern. He was the villain.
Oh, he was... No, I can't remember the character's name.
Doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
But what's important is that, like, everybody...
Hector Hammond.
Like everybody in that movie, he had a giant head.
He really did.
That movie
did.
Is just exclusively aliens or people with giant heads.
Well, that's what people want.
It turns out they didn't because nobody likes that movie.
Somebody said to me once that celebrities have giant heads. That's why they're famous.
Hollywood Pete said that.
There you go.
They've got tiny little bodies but big on-screen heads.
Yeah, right.
So they look proportional on cinema. Apparently George Clooney, tiny little body,
giant
Hollywood head.
Wow.
Yeah. Think about it.
Those tiny little Nespresso cups.
That's right.
Wait.
They're regular cups.
No, but wouldn't that make him really big?
Yeah, he's got a big head because he's holding it from
He's holding it next to his... Okay, so what they must have to do...
They've got different sizes.
They have a series of very big cups
yes.
and a series of cups that are even smaller than regular espresso cups, and they do a cowboy switch.
They switch them out, yeah.
So when he's like pretending to be a gladiator or whatever on the Nespresso ad, there's a long shot of him holding...
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Is he doing that now?
Yes, he's like a Nespresso ambassador.
I knew that. I didn't know they were making him dress up. I thought he just finished an award show and he comes out with his tie askew and they just film him then.
I feel confident there's one where he's doing like a sword and sandals epic.
You might be thinking of Hail Caesar.
No, and then it's like cut and then he's like, oh, I've got to get my Nespresso. And then then they hand him a cup,
a tiny
that
one
is smaller than a regular espresso cup in the long shot for his to match his tiny body. Yep. So it looks like a regular espresso cup. And then it cuts to the close-up of his head, and they quickly switch out to an enormous
it's
cup.
It's like a soup bowl. With
it's
a
like
handle.
The it's like the cups of coffee from Friends when they went to where it's an enormous cup of coffee.
I love it.
They break those out of the NBC props department or whatever, and they hand him that. And he's like, Nespresso.
Perfect.
And he dunks his head in it. And they cut that out because Hollywood celebrities are weird.
They certainly are.
What are we talking about?
Matt Reeves.
Peter Skarsgård. There we go. All right.
So he's good, but... it was announced on Twitter by the director, Matt Reeves, and it says, "Hello, Peter." And somebody pointed this out on Twitter. Chris Sylvia said,
"You must have meant HelloFresh, our great sponsor."
He might have meant that, actually, now that I think about it. But Chris Sylvia said he has to be Peter Grogan, who's the, apparently, I didn't know this, but the deputy commissioner, right?
Huh.
So, because every Reeves announcement names the character, not the actor. So he's saying, "Hello, Peter," as in,
Hello,
Peter Grogan.
Oh, I see. It's a quick fake out.
Yeah.
I should probably point out that in Australia, a grogan is something entirely different.
What's a grogan in Australia? Is it a surfing term?
No, it's a poop is what it is.
Could you do a water grogan if you were surfing?
I guess you could, yeah.
An aqua grogan,
but what I'm saying
say.
Is that this maybe changed, if this is the case, maybe change the character's name, because it's going to be one of those Avatar The Last Airbender situations where nobody's going to take the movie seriously if there's a character named Grogan in
Absolutely.
It.
We could do a parody podcast called the Joe Grogan Podcast.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. The Joe Grogan Experience, yeah. just bring celebrities on. We bring the biggest celebrities on in the world, and they can talk about bad poop experiences or good poop, or just maybe their that morning's poop
What's
experience.
What's your routine? Yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. In other news.
Wait, are we not going to discuss, you think it's Grogan?
I don't know. This is just what this person says.
Deputy Commissioner Grogs.
Yeah. Why not? I think he's...
Is he in the Long Halloween?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think he might be a new 52.
Which, again,
character.
we propose is probably what this movie's going
to
be.
It seems to be that way. His first appearance was in 1955, so he's one of those ones. He's also
he's a character nobody remembers.
Well, he appeared in Arkham Origins and also the Telltale series as well.
Okay.
As well as
comics. The Arkham game that people like the least.
Yes.
And the game... from the studio that is now out of business for not paying their employees
or
whatever it was.
I like Arkham Knight less than I like Arkham Origins.
All right, yeah. Okay.
Just because of those fucking tank missions.
Okay, yeah, right.
Anyway. Good stuff all around. I mean, he could be a Harvey Dent or whatever, but I think they'd probably get somebody closer to Bruce Wayne's age.
Yeah, right, okay.
For that, because they're normally about the same age. Anyways, Mason, good news for Venom fans, if you're out there. Matt Tolmach, who's the producer on Venom, says they're exploring the idea of Venom being R-rated after the success of Joker and the other ones that were good.
Oh, my goodness.
That made money. Made money.
That's a new golden age of comic book movies, everything R-rated.
I think Well, this is good, I think. Mm-hmm. It could make for a better movie or just a more violent movie, which
is
inherently better.
Do you think they'll strip away all the comic book elements like Joker? And instead of it being... Like they'll reboot him, and instead of him being covered in a black alien symbiote or whatever, it'll just be he takes a second dip in that lobster tank and he gets sprayed in squid ink, he's just a guy covered in black ink for the rest of the movie.
I thought he'd just be covered in trash. Doesn't he eat from a bin in that movie?
Yeah,
you're probably right. Squid ink makes more sense though. They could call it Eddie Squid Ink.
Sure could. Yeah,
say it.
Yeah, and it's Squiddy Eddie. They could call it. But we know it's Venom. Don't worry. The true comic book fans know that it's Venom, so don't even worry. But we know Squiddy Eddie is. Eddie Squiddy? Doesn't matter. Squiddy Eddie Squiddy.
Eddie Squiddy sounds like a kid's show.
Then we want to know. We want people to know it's not for kids. Yeah. This ain't your kids.
That's
bloody
why Squid Eddie's more of like a mobster name.
That's true,
He's maybe got slippery hands.
Yeah, from the ink.
Yeah, from the ink.
Squiddy Eddie.
Squiddy
okay.
Eddie, yeah. Anyway, look, we'll see how that goes. They're making it. They have to. It seems.
I would put money on it being a non-R-rated general release and then an R-rated DVD probably.
That's weak, man. I don't like
that. I know.
Yeah.
But that's what they are, weak. Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe because of Joker hitting a billion, I think things are shifting.
Yeah, right. Do you think this will then be a success, or do you think then this will be the first swing and a miss of that era of like, oh my god, all comic book movies should be R-rated now. Oh, we've made a terrible mistake.
It could
this
actually
sucks.
Be that. It could be just like, it could kill everything. Like they do it and then it bombs and then, I don't know. It depends. If they work in Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, that'll do it. That'll nail it.
Yeah, but sure. I wonder how that gels with all the MCU stuff if they put Spider-Man in a R-rated Venom movie.
Do you think
there might be something, some clause associated with all of that that we're unaware of?
Oh, maybe yeah. Do you think at this point they will? Do you think they could put in a new Spider-Man actor? Not Tom Holland.
I think if they were going to do it, they'd probably do a different version.
Yeah,
and like loosely tie it to the universe.
Yeah, I'm thinking Spider-Man PS4, that was a successful
version
of Spider-Man. You know,
that's good.
It was good.
That's a great Spider-Man.
And initially,
thing.
We were like, "Boo, no, not don't care for this."
I wasn't like that at all.
Before it came out?
I was well into it.
No, I was also well into it, yeah. Uh-huh. But people are like, boo, look at this, don't like
boo.
It.
Boo. You can change the suit like almost immediately as well.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a good game. I should play that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to start from the start though because I'm so far into it that I'm like, I don't remember any of these moves. I'm getting beat up all the time. Because by the end, just every rooftop is filled with guys with guns. So you just
that's
sweep wide
past
and they're just taking shots at you out of the air. And you're delivering a pizza, which you maybe don't do in that game.
No, I don't think you do.
Yeah.
My first playthrough of that, I think I played it up until a point where you're up against a whole bunch of villains and like the whole city's been electrified and whatever.
Yeah.
And I just left it. And then I came back several weeks later, like at this point where I've got no health and everything's on fire and electrified. And I'm like, ah. And so there was just like several days of me just trying to get out of this one situation
where
everything's electrified and failing and coming back.
You still there or you finished it?
No, I finished it.
No, good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, because there's some big trailers this week, that's going to be the main focus of the show. We're going to be like, is that enough to make a show out of? I hope so, because we also had a topic lined up, and then it was like, well, that could then go for like 4 hours. So we've stripped it down to just trailers, and if you do want to skip to a particular one, whether it be a Black Widow, whether it be a Wonder Woman, whether it be a Ryan Reynolds in a GTA.
Sure, right.
There's time codes in
the description. Look, we whipped ourselves into a frenzy with that whole riff about George Clooney and his big head and his tiny body. So, look, if we can just do that with every trailer.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Can you imagine if all the characters in this had big heads and tiny bodies?
Yes, Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, some kind of event happened, the CCXP19.
Oh, yeah,
whatever that stands for.
I've seen some stills from that. Yeah. That's all I saw.
Apparently huge turnout, bigger than Comic-Con. They've showed...
Well, they would say that, wouldn't they?
Probably, yeah. They did. They did say it. Was it you saying it's like a Trump inaugural kind of situation where like, this is the biggest crowd of anything that there's ever been?
I don't even know what this is. Is it a Comic-Con? Is it an official... Is it a Marvel... Is it a Disney-themed event?
I don't know.
Disney,
I think it's just like a go and show your crap.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it says. That's what the slogan says. Go and show your crap.
Just go and show your crap. But they showed like footage and clips from all the newer stuff. They showed Eternal footage.
I saw a still from WandaVision.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a clip or
the black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all the rumors and all the well, it's not a rumor anymore. Like the summary of that it's kind of some sort of I Love Lucy era.
And then moves up.
Yeah, sitcom. Genres. That is very true.
I can't wait till they get to Step by Step.
Oh, me neither. Family Matters?
Step by Step, basically.
Okay.
Which is the better show that people remember? The one with Patrick Duffy or the one with the cop from Die Hard and Urkel?
The one I said.
Yes, correct. So Eternals apparently...
What was the premise of Step by Step?
It was the Brady Bunch, essentially. Two families coming together. But it was the modern day and they were like, what does it even mean to be a family in the 90s? Who gives a shit? So anyway...
I would love
Tim Allen had that covered.
I would love if that was the he sets the kids down at the end of every episode and he explains, but that's the tagline. That's his famous tag, and people are just suffering through the rest of the episode just so that Patrick
what does
Duffy
it even
can
mean
say,
to be a family in the 90s. So yeah, so apparently the Eternals is going to be over like 7,000 years. The footage looked really cool and cinematic because it's a movie, I guess.
Yeah, right.
There's like a description of it, but you get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that exciting if I read it out. It turns out, as I've discovered in the past, but they also showed
it takes place over 7,000 years, James, like bloody Endgame.
Oh, you're
right?
Not wrong. We did do that commentary, didn't we? Took forever.
Oh boy.
So yeah, we got those for sale. The commentary tapes. That's linked below. They're all sold out, but he's ordered more.
On the back end, I think.
Oh, they're back in.
He restocked. There was like, the last time I checked, there was like 200 for sale. So
oh, excellent.
Just get in there quick and he'll deliver them quick. Don't worry.
And maybe they're gone again.
If you get in this week, I'm pretty sure you'll get them in time for Christmas.
Yeah, he's got a really good turnaround, that guy. I don't know how he does it. What's his secret? Meth.
I was going to say, I was churning through in my brain and I went, whatever you do, don't say meth. Because it's disrespectful to this man who's doing this all for us.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
There's still 153 in stock currently.
Excellent.
So,
great. True.
Yeah.
So, Kevin Feige also
mentioned... what were we talking about? I've forgotten.
Well, this panel.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He also mentioned that Ms. Marvel, these are Disney Plus shows, Moon Knight and She-Hulk, these shows will be ready towards the end of 2020.
Still that's a long really way good. Away.
Yeah. That's he like a year.
I know, but he could have thrown us a bone and said one will be available January 1st, 2020.
Well, he's doing Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier and the Falcon is currently filming. That'll be probably mid-year, I'd imagine. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's exciting, isn't it? Okay. And WandaVision's before that and What If's before that. So we're getting three before then.
What's he giving us New Year's Day?
I don't know. What is on Disney Plus New Year's Day? Probably a Mandalorian or whatever.
Probably a Mandalorian.
We'll talk about it later, no
Stan's
doubt.
Stan's giving us stuff.
That's true.
Why isn't Stan's giving us the true history of the Kelly Gang or whatever it is.
Oh, who's in that?
Oh, it's got like Charlie Hunnam and it's got...
Oh, okay.
It's got a bunch of British people because back in the day...
Everyone was British.
Everyone was British in Australia, so...
Until that... We all got that head injury and now we all talk like this.
That's right, exactly right.
You know why? It's because we're on the bottom of the earth and all the blood has rushed to our head. That's why we talk like this.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Ghostbusters got a first look. They showed the Ecto-1. Did you see the post? It's just a poster. It's in grass.
Does it look like the regular
Ecto-1?
Yeah,
what do you want to
say? It probably has some different pipes and stuff on it.
It's probably got some different pipes on it.
You would think?
But there's a trailer for that on Monday or Tuesday this week, so we'll probably almost certainly come back to that next week. Also, it's got a name. It's called Ghostbusters... Evolution, or we're back. I don't know. Right. It's got something. Answer the call. No, that was the last one. Yeah. What's this one?
It's Ghostbusters 4 Spooky Boys.
4 Spooky Boys.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That sounds good, I think. Paul Rudd's in it and some of the cast of Stranger Things, maybe half of them.
Okay, so the true history of the Kelly Gang.
Mm.
It's got the greatest actor in the world, Russell Crowe.
Is it really?
Yeah. Nicholas Holt.
Okay.
From Mad Max Fury Road /
About a Boy.
Movies. Where he's the beast some of the time. Essie Davis is in it. Claudia Carvin, Stray's own.
Oh, wow.
Episode
2's deleted scenes own, Claudia Carvin, Attack of the Clones. Who's in it?
Is she?
The deleted scenes.
There you go.
She's Padme Amidala's sister.
There you go.
She's also in Good Things.
Don't know what that is.
No, like... As in better things.
Oh, I see, right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
See, you'd forgotten the concept of good things because I said Attack of the Clones.
Right. Yeah. I just fell into a spiral of depression immediately. And then you're like, good things. And I'm like, that's not real. I've only heard about those in Legends. A lot of people like Attack of the Clones, probably.
Yeah.
My friend Helen is worried her fiancé is demanding before she watches any more episodes of The Mandalorian, she must watch... the prequel trilogy, which she's never seen. So I'm just getting random messages like, when does this get better?
Wait, how far is she in?
I don't know. Look, I think she watched the first one last night. So,
oh, man.
Helen, if you're listening, good luck. A lot of people say Attack of the Clones is worse, but I say it's about the same.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I think it was the first one to be shot on digital, which is why it looks weird.
Yep. I don't get why all the acting is so wooden. Did all the actors receive instruction to stop themselves from having facial expressions?
Yes.
Yeah, they did. It's true.
Almost certainly. So you liked the movie Aladdin, the new one, sort of, didn't you?
I did.
And I also sort of liked it.
I think we liked it quite a bit at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked the original Aladdin. I liked this Aladdin.
I liked it a lot more than I liked The Lion King. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And
it has a certain charm. It's not the same charm as the animated version.
It was slightly different, which is what I appreciated from it. And I liked the cast.
Mm.
People, though, the people at Disney seem to like Prince Anders because he's getting a Disney Plus spinoff.
Yeah, right.
Taken a lot of heat because this same week, Mina Mussad, who plays Aladdin, this movie made $1 billion.
And he was in an interview and he said that he hasn't had an audition since then.
Yeah, which is pretty baffling,
right?
Quite frankly. And so the heat is, well, this character who's a minor player in this movie is getting a spin-off.
Yeah.
And why is that the case?
And a lot of people have been, I've seen people on Twitter be like, he was just in it for a minute, but now it seems kind of like a calculated move. Like Bill put some spin-off characters in.
Because
in Aladdin.
I think we talked about it at the
Billy
time.
Magnuson.
Billy Magnuson. We were like, that guy was really great.
But can he sustain an entire series?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question.
He's good in things as a massive idiot.
And I do wonder whether they drop the accent, whether he's just doing that. Because can you imagine like 10 episodes of that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe Aladdin can show up in a spin-off.
Right?
That he's barely in. I don't know. It kind of also would make sense to me that maybe in the same way that the Aladdin, the original one, had a spin-off television cartoon. Maybe you could have done that with the cast of Aladdin.
I guess one...
I mean, not Will Smith. You'd have to do like a prequel or
something. Anyway, it's very unfortunate timing that they've done this and then also if we've received
I'm
word
sure
that.
They weren't happy about
it. No, but also, is it just because it's easier? It'd be easier to make a spin-off series about a rando because there's no backstory built into him.
Yes.
I guess.
Well, that's true. And also, if you do...
an Aladdin spin-off.
Then you have to get everybody. You have to get Will Smith. Unless, again, it's a prequel, which is difficult. And my understanding is also they're planning to do an Aladdin sequel.
Right.
They're doing a... whatever their version of Return of Jafar is going to be.
Yeah, right.
Which I'm kind of interested to see. That they can kind of go a bit off book. Or
and take
that
King movie. Of Thieves.
Yeah.
Deadbeat Dad.
I love King of Thieves.
I know you do.
There's a bit where they jump on a gold floating hand. And I, for one, think that revolutionized cinema.
How big's the floating hand?
Like as big as a boogie board?
It's pretty big. And it's gold, you say?
And it's gold, I say. Yeah. So I don't know. That is unfortunate, though, that you can't seem to get an audition. It's also that thing of like, I know sometimes actors will win a big award and then studios stop calling because they think that...
oh, they're too good for it.
They're too good for it or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know this is not the same scenario, obviously, but it's just, it's odd. And hopefully off the back of this, he does get auditions.
Mm.
Yeah, but I don't know whether that's the way Hollywood works.
I mean, it's also, they could be like, well, this guy's so ungrateful complaining they didn't get off an audition, so I'm never going to give him an audition.
I've seen him in interviews, though. I like him, and I liked him as Aladdin. So
great hair.
Yeah, terrific hair and versatile. They straightened it for the movie. Real life, he's got a whole different thing going on.
My goodness.
It's so versatile, yeah. Are you excited for more Planet of the Apes movies?
I heard about this. This is a... there's going to be a new one.
Yes.
But we're not sure if it's going to be a sequel or a reboot.
Yes.
What do you think it's going
to
be?
They should do the original one, but make it a sequel to the series that they just made, because that was good.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. So you're saying...
Astronauts in Space.
So Charlton Heston.
Yes.
You're saying make a sequel to the ones we've had recently.
Yes.
But make it the Charlton Heston bit.
Yes.
So the furthest future bit.
Yes.
That would be good.
Yes.
Do you think they will? Or do you think they're going to reboot it again? I have this feeling they'll be like, they've been like, it's been a few years, well, so we should reboot this again, but worse.
But yes. I would think that if it was Fox, which it is.
Okay.
But Disney now own Fox.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which makes me think they'll do the smarter thing.
Okay.
Or the thing that they think will make more money and be more successful.
Yes.
Which is generally Disney's plan.
Yes.
And it seems to work for the most part.
Oh, they're so
Except
canny,
for
aren't
Dumbo,
they?
What were you thinking? But, and maybe Lady in the Trap. Did you watch that?
No.
I heard it was... I didn't hear anything, actually.
Okay, right.
I have nothing to say. Yeah, it's directed by Wes Ball, who did the Maze Runner film. So
I thought you were going to say Wes Borland for a second there.
Who's that?
Guitarist from Limp Bizkit.
Well, Fred Durst is a director. He did that John Travolta...
That's right, yeah.
...plays a super fan lunatic movie or whatever.
But would he do it dressed as like a flaming skeleton? As Wes Borland definitely would.
Would he? And really?
Yeah, because he was the guy that dressed up in all the funny costumes.
I only remember Fred Durst.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you got to remember... Fred Durst.
I know him.
Baseball cap.
Backwards.
Wes Borland. Wacky outfits. The other guys. Two or three other guys.
But maybe one?
And a DJ. But maybe, really? Yeah.
But maybe
DJ Lethal.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an era of the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
Why did anyone do it?
What happened to all the DJs, you know what I mean? They got replaced by an Adobe plugin that goes...
They almost certainly did. So I've only seen the first Maze Runner. As far as those dystopian future kids trapped in a whatever movies,
yes,
it's not bad.
Okay.
It's pretty solid.
All right.
And it's got the voice of Bumblebee as the lead in it.
Have I seen Maze Runner?
You may have.
Okay.
Then there was The Scorch, and then there was a one called maybe Blaze Trials, or maybe it was Scorch Trials.
Death Cure. There's definitely Death one Cure. Called The Death okay, Cure. Yeah. So that maybe there's been three or four
there's
of
been
these
three.
Movies.
But the lead in that, I don't have his name in front of me, he voiced Bumblebee.
Oh.
He had an accident between movies and they had to postpone it for a really long time. And then Dylan something.
Well, that's ungrateful. I wouldn't cast him in. I wouldn't give him any more auditions.
Well, he was too many in, so they had to finish the movie, didn't they?
I guess that's true. Yeah. Oh, side note, do you think, we're talking about Aladdin, the Prince Anders character.
Dylan O'Brien.
Do you think then that Billy Magnus, do you think he's just going to get a blow to the head in the first episode and they'll just speak with an American accent
for the rest
of the series?
I think he's trying to, he was putting it on to make himself appear more exotic and appear more
Right. So he's just, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But who's to say? For Planet of the Apes, do you bring back Andy Serkis? I mean, obviously, spoiler alert for the Planet of the Apes movies.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. You should watch them, the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
His character dies.
But in no large part because of...
Being stabbed or shot.
I meant that the people enjoy those movies because the gorillas and the apes are lifelike.
Yes.
But they're not Uncanny Valley lifelike.
Yes.
It works because of the look and the mannerisms.
You know what's interesting about that is as well, they gave them human characteristics so you can read their emotions, mm-hmm. which is, again, what they should have done with The Lion King. But maybe it's easier to do it on a gorilla than it is to do it on, like, a chimpanzee.
But you'd think that might have even been weirder because they're so close to
being
humans.
Yeah, good point. God, what a world.
Yeah.
So... But I'd say so. There's also a very real possibility that they just do a direct sequel to that instead of doing the Return from Space one. Who do you get as the astronaut?
Charlton Ryan Gosling. Heston. Oh. Yeah, Ryan Gosling.
He's done space stuff, hasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, good on him. Yeah, he did that one where he was Neil Armstrong.
But then would he do that again? I feel Ryan Gosling isn't a guy who he doesn't really repeat himself, so.
He would have made a really good Batman.
Who's the poor man's Ryan Gosling?
Chad Kroger.
Of Nickelback.
Yes.
The band Nickelback.
Maybe a Charlie Hunnam?
Yep, okay.
Yeah. And not to say that he's terrible, because he's not.
Yeah.
He's great.
And he's just wrapped on the true history of the Kelly game.
There you go, he's ready to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's probably used to wearing those big helmets.
Do you watch a lot of that show?
The True History of the Kelly Gang.
No, sorry.
Oh, Sons of Anarchy. I meant Ned Kelly helmets.
I knew what you meant. Okay. But in my brain, I don't know, for some reason I thought that you knew what I meant when I said that.
Americans, if you don't know Ned Kelly, he's what we call the Bush Ranger.
Our national icon is...
A criminal.
Yes.
who
claim to fame.
The
defining, there was a lot of Bush Rangers,
And they were just like...
They're outlaws.
Outlaws, yeah. And but basically, his defining moment was he and his gang... were trapped in a hotel and they were surrounded by the police and they were there long enough that they built like suits of armor.
Yes.
Metal suits of armor. And then they decided to then go out and end the standoff with the police in a shootout.
Yes.
But they didn't armor their legs.
They didn't armor their legs and they were gunned down.
Yeah.
In their legs.
In their legs, yes.
Yeah, there was a Heath Ledger movie.
Oh, there was too, yeah. And there was a Mick Jagger movie also.
And there was also the movie Reckless Kelly with the Yahoo series.
That's very true, yes.
He also didn't armor his legs, but Hugo Weaving is in it. Yeah.
What does that mean?
What doesn't it mean?
Does he constantly dive in front of Reckless Kelly's legs? Is that... Do they call Hugo Weaving the human shield?
Yeah.
The Hugo shield.
The Hugo shield, yeah. My goodness.
Anyway, he was an Iron Man for our time.
Yeah.
By our time, I mean the 19th century.
Whenever that happened. Yeah, exactly. Trailers Ahoy.
Why did they have the time?
They had time.
But how much time?
Enough. It's weird that nobody else did it.
It's weird that nobody... Well, I mean, and shot since, in the legs.
No, like, took a lesson from that.
Oh, and built an unwieldy suit of armor that gets you shot in the legs.
Yeah, but, like, you're fighting dudes who, like... They're shooting one bullet. They're taking 4 minutes to reload.
I think that era had passed by then.
Oh, they had a flintlock situation?
No, it was a revolver situation.
Oh, they
you get shot so many times.
Yeah, you're right.
In the legs, yeah.
You know, his last words were...
Such is life.
Should armor me legs, mate.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think he was
Irish. But he was muffled because they hung with the armor on. So he went, should have armored me legs. And then as they dropped him, everybody in the crowd went, duh. A duh.
A duh.
The first recorded instance of Australians going, a duh. A duh.
Yes. So.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother. Or sales. I definitely prefer. Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. The Mulan trailer.
Yes.
Trailers ahoy.
I watched this and I thought, is this going to be a magic Mulan universe or a non-magic Mulan universe, but then a woman turns into a bird.
And a man jumps off a horse and runs up a wall.
Oh, that also happens, yes.
I thought that was like, did I see that right? Uh-huh. It looks great. That shot is incredible. I'm really excited for this, genuinely. It's weird how they went, the dragon's too silly, but we've got a woman who turns into a bird and a man who runs up a wall. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, if I have to be honest.
Yes.
You haven't seen
it. You do have to be honest.
I do.
Don't lie on this podcast. You've been honest up to this point, right? I mean, you omitted your wife and child from this podcast for some amount of time.
That is true.
But I mean, why would you then lie about a little thing like whether or not you enjoyed this trailer?
That was an omission. That wasn't a flat out lie. I never said I didn't have a wife and child. That just didn't come up for 3 years.
All right, let's go to the tape. This is from years ago. I'm going to find it in the archives. James, do you have a wife and child?
Oh, I'm so hungover and young. Look how dark my hair is and choose not to comment.
All right, you got me.
Terrific. Yeah. Sound good, don't I?
You do sound good.
So rested.
I mean, you sound a little rough around the edges, but all right.
Okay, the Mulan. I like the movie Mulan a lot, the animated one. I think it's really good.
Yep.
Except the Eddie Murphy dragon in it is weird. It doesn't fit. I think he's a great voice. He's obviously good as a talking donkey and many other things.
This was pre-talking donkey, though.
Pre-talking donkey.
Okay, right.
So I have no problem with taking out that dragon because I don't think it works at all.
And he was the little dragon also,
a little dragon, yeah. Okay. I think there is only exclusively little dragons in that movie, I believe. Like, there's hints at bigger ones, but he's not. So
how big do you think his espresso cup is?
Oh, wait, I got to do the scale.
Got to do the scale again, see?
Tiny, super tiny.
Yeah, it would be.
Like a thimble. Yeah,
exactly, because they didn't have movie cameras back then.
They did not. Yeah.
A little tiny espresso cup for a tiny dragon.
Yes. No, it would have been one of those fake made in China cups with like the blue art pattern around it.
Oh, you know, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
you know that style. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The interesting thing is because they've said definitively that this is not a musical, but the cinematic score that plays over the top is the song Reflections, which is a Mulan sung song from this movie.
And there is a bit in it where the training guy's like, I'll make men out of you. And isn't like there a song? Isn't there a song?
Yeah, and he goes, and isn't there a song? No?
No, there's no song. Well, I'm going to have to encourage you some other way. I'm going to poke you with this stick.
It's pretty effective still. Those two songs, more so for I'll Make a Man Out of You, that is a great segment of that movie. It might go down as one of the best movie montage training sequences of all time. It's terrific. Okay. I can't wait to come back to it so we can talk about it for Caravan and Garbage. I think you might really like it.
Okay then.
But yeah, so this though, I think looks great. And I'm more excited for this than I was The Lion King or Aladdin.
Do you think the training montage is going to be as effective then?
Mm, in live action.
In live action, if there's no song.
Mm. That's why I think they'll do the instrumental
version of the song. So, do you think that'll be as a... Oh, okay, how about this? Do you, if you'd never seen the original Mulan, yes, you watch this training sequence and it's just got like a orchestra version of that song, do you think people would still be as inspired?
Well, that's a good question.
Or do you think they'd be like, this is a bit bland?
Maybe. It's a pretty good song. Okay. Like, it's not just the lyrics that make it.
Okay.
It's the music.
How about
this?
The lyrics. When you go to see it,
yes,
if you sense the audience is flagging at that point, they're like, I don't know about this, you should start singing.
Let's get down to business.
I don't mean necessarily that song. I mean just any
just any song.
Tub Thumping.
I remember some Moulin Rouge songs I could probably
that'll
realize.
Do, yeah.
Because you can!
Nice.
That, yeah, it looks good. I don't know what else to tell you.
It does look good.
It might not be good, but to me it looks good.
Yeah. It looks more like a film as opposed to something like Aladdin. Which
yes.
looks like
a bunch of small sets.
Yeah.
And green screen.
Yeah, this looks more like an actual historical epic.
Yes.
As opposed to a product that's being massaged into a historical epic.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Speaking of historically...
In my opinion...
No, I don't disagree. Mm. Speaking of historical epics...
Yes.
Mason. Bond, does that count? He's like 50 years old.
He's a bloody relic, isn't he?
That's true.
That's what they're calling him in this.
Well, they say that in every movie.
Because
he's
retired like five times.
Only that, it feels like... They did it when Brosnan showed up for his first movie.
That's right,
like,
yeah.
You're a hangover from the bloody Cold War, Brosnan.
And he's like, speaking of hangovers, I don't get any from my Smirnoff vodka. My Bollinger champagne.
Smirnoff's not a good one. It's not a good vodka, I feel. Okay. It's like pretty bog standard. I don't think you'd drink it, is what I'm saying.
He probably just poured it on an open wound or something.
Yeah, he definitely did. So this trailer looks better than the Spectre trailer did when that one came out.
What do you think of this as a trailer, though? I feel it's a bit confused as a trailer.
I think it's intentionally, like, vague, unlike the last one where they showed who all the villains were.
I guess that's true. I feel like with this trailer specifically, though, they've attempted to structure it like a movie, like just the 4 minutes, because it's like... They're in, like, the car chase, and it's like, well, how did I get into this?
Yeah, you're right.
You might be wondering how I got into this sticky situation.
It was.
And then they cut back to earlier in the movie.
Mm.
And then later, they go back to the car chase.
Yes.
Which features a very promising double minigun minute.
I was going to ask you at the end, but let's do it now.
The Aston Martin's been upgraded.
And?
Looks good.
Counts?
Yeah, they're real. Okay. As far as I know, they're real miniguns. I want to see those barrels spin, but...
Where's the engine? In the back?
In the car.
Because there's got to be a lot of bullets. Because you have to feed the bullets directly through.
That's true,
You can't just have it like...
Oh, Madeline Swan's doing that by hand. She's putting the bullets in individually.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I also like that you can't aim them. You just have to spin the car in a circle.
Well, I mean, that's always been the detriment of the Bond. You know, any of the Aston Martins with guns behind the headlights. Like, you can't... Surely, put a turret in the boot or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure, I can appreciate
that. I don't know. There's a scene in one of the Dalton movies where he shoots missiles. Like, he's got to blow up a barrier, I think, to get his car through. And he shoots these missiles out of the headlights. And there's, like, this long sequence where the targeting computer's like, boop, 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 meeting up. And it's like...
Oh, that was every movie.
You're just shooting forwards.
Yeah.
just shoot forwards. It's fine. You don't have to lock onto anything.
Was that a thing in the 80s? Because Batman does that as well.
Yeah. And then they meet in the middle.
Just do it by eye.
Yeah, just exactly. I thought you were a good shot, Bond.
Nah.
Come on.
So, good. Minigun Minute. I like that a lot. There's an excellent, I'm assuming it's real, I don't know, that bike stunt where he, like, leaps up a wall.
Looks real.
Yeah, looks real. And for the most part, the stunts in these are as close to real as you can do.
That's true, yeah.
Ones. Remember they blew up that really big thing and there's the biggest explosion ever in the last movie or whatever?
Nope.
They did. But it doesn't matter, does it?
No.
There is a bit of weird face replacement in Skyfall where he's like going across a roof on a bike and you can see that it's like, it's clearly not him. They've just pasted it on. But speaking of face replacement, Rami Malek has a Phantom of the Opera mask and he's been scarred by maybe a jellyfish. I can't tell what's going on with that guy's face.
you think it's a jellyfish?
I like how he's like, me and you are the same, Bond. You're pretty different. You get a lot of differences. You speak differently. You look different. You've got a weird jelly face scar. You wear a Phantom of the Opera mask.
One of you is the actor Rami Malek.
That's
one
right.
One of you is the actor Daniel Craig.
Different actors.
Mm-hmm.
Different
That's
actors,
right.
Different probably taste in food, I'd imagine.
I mean, Rami Malek's character certainly would not care for any kind of jellyfish-based food.
No. Is there such
a
thing?
Oh, it's jellyfish for breakfast again.
Oh,
I don't like this.
Yeah.
It must be. I wonder.
People eat everything. Mm. Yeah. Do you think the bungee scene where he jumps off a bridge with a rope was like a nod to the Brosnan GoldenEye dam jump?
No. I think they've just cycled through all the ideas and they've gotten back to that one. Yeah, I think
you might be right. Yeah. Does that mean we're coming around to the windsurfing one again?
I hope so.
Oh my goodness. We got a video this week on like the legacy of Daniel Craig. If you want to know what we're talking about, you can click on that video. But
if you haven't, just look up James Bond. What does he do? He windsurfs.
Die Another Day windsurf.
He windsurfs a gigantic satellite space laser, shoots a laser down and it blows up
like
an ice flow.
It's pretty much like a magnifying glass.
Yeah, and then he surfs to safety on this wave.
Using the remnants
of a rocket
car.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie, yeah.
What do you think about his wife or whatever betraying him? And he's like, well, you've betrayed me like my last love betrayed me.
Well, see, and again, it feels a little bit confusing because, again, at the start, so I'm assuming what happens is, in between this movie and the last movie, they broke up maybe or something, which is why he's alone in his retirement
villa. I think you see them
villa.
Like doing big kisses in this.
Oh, okay, then I don't know. Yeah. Okay, but then it seems like she betrays him in some other way and then he sees her later at MI6 headquarters and he's like, ooh, I don't care for this. And then they get trapped in the car. And he's like, put these bullets in the gun, quickly.
Yeah, you might be right. That might be the way it plays out. Felix Leiter returns, which is great.
That's good, Jeffrey Wright. He's good.
Is he showing up much in the other ones? Since Casino Royale?
He's in Quantum of Solace.
That makes sense.
With, what's his face? Sheriff Hopper from Stranger Things. He's in a scene. They're both.
Is he really?
It's like a CIA plane situation.
Oh, okay, great. Excellent. What do you think about this thing, though, of a new 007? I know you're against it. You said James Bond has to always be a man.
I didn't say any of these things. No.
And if he's anything other, even if he's blonde.
Disagree. Go to the tape.
Oh, I'm doing it?
Yeah, you're doing it.
I like James Bond as whatever. What am I agreeing or disagreeing with?
Fine.
No, I know. Both of us don't care.
Yep.
Is the point. Especially because it's not actually James Bond as well. It's a person with
a 007 designation. Yeah.
I do wonder, though, and we mentioned this in that video, that whether they might have continued this continuity with a different 007. And then you could also bring back Craig eventually. Mm. If you wanted to, as a small cameo, and you could give him $10 million and he'd take it.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's but then again, maybe it'll be a hard reboot. Because this series, remember, this current Daniel Craig one is a hard reboot.
It is. It's true. Yeah.
Sort of. It's the other Bond films are technically connected. Like there's a stretched out timeline and obviously they are different faces.
They do have different faces. It's true.
And some of them don't count because they're out of copyright or whatever the hell. But this is technically like early days Bond. Or it was supposed to be.
This is definitely a reboot, but there were some hangovers like Judi Dench as M.
Yes.
Was in the first one.
That's right. Several. She did have a hangover in that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. I don't really have anything else to say except the world has moved on and he has retired again.
That's right.
That's really great.
The world, but come on, Bond. Give it up.
You're a dinosaur, Bond. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Do you think Daniel Craig has returned to this role with the express demand that Bond dies at the end?
Good question. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd let him do it.
I don't think the production would let him do it, but I mean,
they could do like a fake out death.
Okay.
And then maybe bring him back.
I mean,
I don't think they'd do like you watch his head like get crushed in a vice.
They could kill the actor Daniel Craig so he doesn't have to come back for any more movies.
And then they've owned
as he demands.
Yeah, and they own his likeness. So that's fine. They can just CGI him back in.
Yeah. You're probably right. I would kind of like to maybe see this character die and then replaced with another 007. And if they want to reboot Bond again later, they can just do it with another actor.
Which they will.
They will, absolutely.
Almost certainly,
yeah.
What do you think about this, Mason?
Yes.
Just came out. We've just seen it. It's the trailer for Free Guy.
This one's come out of nowhere, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Did you have any
idea? I think I heard it when they announced it.
Okay, right.
But other than that,
this is Free Guy. So Ryan Reynolds is a non-player character in some sort of Grand Theft Auto, Saints Row style game.
Yes.
And he works as a bank teller, and so every day people show up and rob the bank, presumably for dollars appearing in their money count.
And it's everything so blasé because people are falling out of shop windows and cars are crashing and helicopters all around.
Yeah, right.
But it's just a regular day in the life of this guy in a video game or whatever.
Yes.
So it's basically Wreck-It Ralph, Lego movie kind of.
It is, like, but live action. Yeah.
But to be honest, this looks pretty great.
Yeah.
Or interesting.
It does look interesting, yeah. But then he decides to break out of his humdrum existence.
Yes.
And I guess steal some heads-up display glasses that give him all the statistics a player character would have in a video game.
Absolutely.
And then decides to branch out on his own.
I'm assuming this is like a GTA Online situation because there seems to be more than one
I see. Right. Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Person running about in the city because you see helicopters crash and then a car, whatever.
Do you think this is the kind of movie that would assume we have that knowledge and not have to explain it to us? Or do you think they're going to break it down very specifically?
I think they'll probably break it down, but I don't think they'll really kind of...
Okay.
It won't be like the movie Gamer, Mason, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, I think they'll probably brush over it enough that you'll get it. Because I think people get it, right? People who play video
One
games...
One would hope that people would get it.
Yeah. But our dads aren't saying this. You know what I mean?
Together?
Maybe. Maybe we could tee it up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's not for... It's for a different kind of audience.
That's true.
It's for your Fortnite up.
Yeah, kinda, right. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Until it stops. But also, do you Fortnite... Does this kind of audience actually want it to be explained? So they can be like, I get it.
Yeah. And maybe you can just do it in a firefight.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
That'll do it. Yeah. You do it. So they're in a car and someone screams it to the person in the passenger seat or whatever. Uh-huh. Does that mean the other NPC that he's talking to, the lady who I can't remember the name of and I didn't catch who the actor was.
And you're not going to look it up?
She's part of the game or is she?
I think she is. I think she's a significant NPC.
Yeah, okay.
As far as I can tell.
Okay, cool.
Like she's one of the story NPCs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Whereas he is like a non...
Would it be a game like... In the future, where it's down the line a bit, or they snap out of the game and the graphics aren't as good, and that's how
I think it's that.
It
I don't think
world.
It's. Yeah. I don't think it's the future. I don't think we're going to Ready Player One this. I think it's just.
So they seem to have enough intelligence to be able to like talk to each other, and
well, that's the magic of
it. It's true. It's like Wreck-It Ralph, I guess.
Yeah.
There you go. I saw Yahtzee. You know him. He works for the Escapist magazine. He does like reviews and stuff. He said this looks eerily similar to my novel Mogworld.
Oh, I remember that. I didn't watch it. I didn't read it, rather, but I remember it.
My understanding was it's like a World of Warcraft, but one of the minor NPCs becomes aware of the situation.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So,
well, that's...
I mean, I don't know.
Because it's parallel thoughts.
Yes.
You would think that eventually somebody's going to be like, what are those guys, what are those NPCs up to? Like, I can very easily imagine two people having the same thought, but it also... It could very well be that somebody was like, we need to make a video game movie. Let's do some research.
Yes.
And they've come across this and gone, well, that's a good idea.
But GTA.
Yeah.
Or Fortnite.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, very good. There was also a trailer for The Boys.
There was,
Did you see that?
I've just
written here blood.
Yes.
That's all I wrote.
Blood. And does somebody's head get torn in half?
Yeah.
Like split guts, down the middle?
Yeah, guts ripped out.
Guts, yep.
Mm-hmm. Homelander's covered in blood and so forth.
Yep.
I was thinking before this came out, how did they get this trailer out so quickly? And then I realized, because they just finished filming, and I realized because, as we mentioned before, it's not a hugely special effects heavy show.
That's true.
A lot of it is boardrooms and people sitting in houses in costumes and stuff.
And spattering people in fake blood.
Yeah, exactly, which you do on the day.
Mm.
So anyway, I think they didn't mention a date though. I think they just said 2020, but it is.
Okay.
I think they've said.
Oh, maybe January 1st.
I think it's mid-year.
Maybe January 1st
Mason,
though.
It's
come on, Amazon. You've got a lot of money.
It's mid-year.
Come on.
Yeah, it'll be June, July, I'd imagine.
We'll finish watching the true story of the Kelly Gang. We want to see something else.
You know we do. We're going to jump on over.
Yes.
That's right.
What else do we see? Do we see...
We see a little bit of his family life.
We do, that's true, yeah. Uh-huh.
Spoilers, I guess.
It also feels like maybe a lot of this trailer is episode one, so maybe that's how they zipped it out so quickly, yeah.
Phantom Menace episode one.
That's right.
Very good.
What else do we see in the trailer, though?
It's just blood and it's pretty quick cuts. Yeah, you see all the heroes return.
All the heroes return.
There's a fight between heroes.
Do we see any inkling that the good guys finally get some of that superpower juice?
I think they'll do it this
season.
I was waiting for it last season. It didn't happen. So I'd imagine it will. Yeah. Yes. Still got to finish that comic. I'm like 2/3 through and I still...
There's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it. Yeah. It's good though.
Mm.
It's definitely worth reading. Movement watches. It's that time of year where you might be thinking, what kind of movement watch do I get for Christmas for people that I love?
Exactly, and what kind of movement watch am I going to demand that my loved ones all give to me?
Correct.
I demand every one of my loved ones gives me a movement watch. And you might be thinking, what other presents could I get my loved ones? Nothing. They don't want anything else.
Out of here.
They want a movement watch.
Do you have any particular styles or designs that you're like, this is a good movement watch?
Every movement watch.
Sure, so you pick something specific to the use, what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I would do. Hmm. Well, right, today I'm wearing a Voyager.
Very good.
Which is the chronograph. It's very nice. Mm-hmm. It's minimalist, but it's not boring.
Yes.
But I was thinking about, I want to get, since it's bloody holiday season.
You know it.
There's an automatic line, which is that you don't have to put in a battery. You don't have to wind them. It just winds itself with the movement of yourself.
So as long as you never stop moving, even for a second,
exactly, that's
stop.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And isn't that the way you want to live? Never stopping?
No, I joke, but doesn't it store the energy like a battery or something?
It does store the energy like a battery or something. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting one of those.
I love that so much.
For myself.
Yeah, of course.
These watches called the Arc.
That's called the what, sorry?
It's called the Arc. That's
very
the
good. Yeah. Movement watches, they're the perfect holiday gift for friends, family, significant other, and so, et cetera, and so forth. They, of course, also do sunglasses, blue light glasses, which I wear literally every day, bracelets and jewelries.
That's right. You know which what you I'm wear talking every
about.
Day.
Yeah.
Put them up your arms like you're a bloody.
Put them up your arms.
Put them up your arms is the bloody. That's the new slogan.
You know it. Watches also start at just $95. As you mentioned, they've got a clean design, minimal. And they're really quality. A watch of a similar build will set you back more. And they've sold over 2 million watches in over 160 countries.
Just this Christmas season, they're all coming to me.
That's
one
right.
Hopes. I have that many friends, don't I?
Yes. Be the big winner this holiday season with a gift from Movement. Get 15% off goodness with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/weeklyplanet. Not getting your holiday bonus until next week, but want to order your watch right now? No worries, mate. Movement now offers buy now, pay later with Klarna payments.
Ah.
Select Klarna at checkout and you can pay over time in 4 easy payments with no fees.
As they say, no worries, mate,
no
with
Klarna.
No
worries, mate. So that's mvmt.com/weeklyplanet. 15% off. Join the movement. Maybe, Mason, you enjoy cooking delicious meals at home and you'd like to make that a reality, more so than you already do, potentially.
I would like to do that. But, James, it's just so difficult.
I can appreciate that. Because regardless of your comfort in the kitchen, HelloFresh offers step-by-step recipes with pre-measured ingredients so you have everything you need to get a wow-worthy dinner on the table in just under 30 minutes.
That's a good amount of time.
That's an excellent amount of time.
That's a primo amount of time.
Any less and you're just doing a pot noodle, aren't you?
Exactly,
any
that's
more,
right.
Any more and you've wasted your life.
Exactly, my 29-minute pot noodle. My famous 29-minute, just a simmering pot noodle.
There's something for everybody, from family recipes to calorie smart and vegetarian, and there's fun menu series like Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers. You can also easily change your delivery days, food preferences, and skip a week whenever you need. You're not locked in forever. Don't even stress about that.
I was a little bit stressed, so thank you.
You don't need to. Whew. Do you enjoy sweet potato fajitas?
Yes.
Because I do. They're delicious.
I love a bit of sweet potato.
Do you enjoy chicken cheddar fajitas?
Yes.
Also fajitas. Delicious. Do you enjoy pork sausage spaghetti bolognese?
Fajitas.
Just regular.
Yeah, yes.
But also delicious.
I was going to say, if that was a fajita, I'd be like, you are losing it, mate.
Those are all excellent. Now, for a limited time, you can actually get 9 free meals with HelloFresh.
That's an insane number of free meals.
Go to HelloFresh.com/WeeklyPlanet9. That's as in the number. And enter WeeklyPlanet9. That's 9 free meals. Goodness gracious. Go to HelloFresh.com/WeeklyPlanet9 and enter WeeklyPlanet9. It's good. Do it.
It's really good.
And it's 9.
Yes. It's the primo number of free meals.
Agreed. In other trailer news, this was a big one this week, Mason. I've done a trailer breakdown. You can check it out online, youtube.com/Mason's Movie Minute.
you have to get it.
Nobody
now.
Take that. That's Mason's Movie Minute. It's not John Peterson's Movie Minute. John.
John, we know you're listening, John.
So, Black Widow trailer, white suit.
Yes.
Do you think it's a snow situation?
Yes.
And that's the only reason?
Yes.
I think there's a tactical advantage other than that?
No.
Yeah.
Give me an example of what it could be.
That's it. I was asking you.
Oh, okay, right.
I think it's just a snow thing.
I also think it's a snow thing.
Great, excellent. Okay, we should point out, though, this movie, the timeline-wise, is set after Civil War, but before Infinity War. She's sort of on the run from the government, it seems, a little bit.
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
Because she helped Captain America escape.
Well, that's what the voiceover says.
Yeah.
She's sort of on the run from the government, maybe.
A little bit.
One woman. Sort of on the run a little bit.
And they also see that there's many Black Widows in this. Like, I think those ones might be future, but
so
then
this
flashbacks.
Isn't. Yeah, so there's. So we get a. There are some.
I dropped my wedding ring. It's not a metaphor.
Wow. Wow. There's some old footage from, I guess.
Like Age of Ultron.
And which has old, like the young Black Widows.
Yes.
But there also seems to be like future model Black Widows.
Yes.
Or like present day Black Widows.
And we
Widows
know that because like, they've got a light on their wrist.
Yes, exactly. That's
so
right.
You know it's,
exactly.
You know
that's a modern day functionality. Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like this trailer though in general?
I did.
Yeah. I didn't love it, but I thought it was, for a movie that I was kind of like, it's a prequel, and we've kind of, what else do we need to see?
Exactly.
There's a lot of stuff in this that I went, or some stuff in it that I went, oh yeah, I'm interested in that.
Yeah, we got Florence Pugh.
Yes, that's right. Pew, pew.
I'm glad they got her as opposed to her stinky cousin, Florence Pugh. Because they were gonna install Smell-O-Vision in all the cinemas. That. Yeah, no, that. Right? Yeah,
yeah. It's something Fox would have done if they owned it. Yeah,
I say.
I agree with you.
Mm.
So, so
that's the new low point for this podcast.
I think so. This new I looked it up. She's 23, and Scarlett Johansson is 35.
30? Okay, right.
Something like that.
Okay.
And I mentioned in my trailer that she's older. I meant to say younger. So I've got 1,000 comments.
Oh no! Oh no!
Yeah. So that's good. I also, there was another mistake that I made in about, I think I said, what did I say, Arabic writing instead of Hebrew. So I was starting to get a lot of those comments. So I just, you can take out clips of, in a YouTube video now. You can
take out snippets.
So I took it out so I didn't get that forever. But part of me was also like, if I leave this in, I'll get more comments. But then I'm like,
that's true.
That would be more engaging.
But is it worth it?
Exactly.
Is it worth it that they're all, you're a dumbass?
Turns out that no, it's not worth it. I know I'm a dumbass.
Yeah,
I know. I'm well aware.
Yeah.
So Rachel Weisz is in this as also a Black Widow from the past.
Yes.
But I mentioned in the video that she might be Taskmaster, but I'm thinking that maybe that might not necessarily be the case.
Right.
There's an actor who's not in this, O.T. Fagbenle, who's in Handmaid's Tale.
Ah.
He's the husband of June in that.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't show up in this trailer. So I think there's maybe a chance it could be him. Other people said it could be Ronan Hawkeye, but I doubt that there would be, because he's got the bow and arrow.
Oh, I see. No, I don't think that's true. Yes. I think the simplest explanation is the best.
Yes.
It's Rachel Weisz.
I think it could be the other guy, though.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I don't love the mask on it, the skull mask. It's not Scully enough, I feel. Dana Scully enough. Mm. I was reading Old Man Hawkeye over the weekend, giving it a reread. And just seeing that version of Taskmaster, I'm like, yeah, they should have done full
proper skull mask. That's scary.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm. This isn't scary, just a man with a shield and a bow and arrow and probably heaps of guns and stuff.
Probably heaps of guns. What do you think about David Harbour, though, as Captain Russia?
Seems fun, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no.
Red Guardian?
Red Spot. Cool Spot. Remember that video game?
Yeah, I remember Cool Spot,
yeah, you know. Yeah. I think it was really...
Fido Dido. He's in this as Fido Dido.
Did he have a video game?
Yeah.
Must have, right? Yeah.
They were both 7-Up. They were both 7-Up mascots.
Still get that?
7-Up?
Yeah.
No.
Good. Good.
But I used to. Let's go to the tape. Oh, I love 7-Up. Oh, give me more 7-Up.
That was you opening the 7-Up.
Yeah, this is me currently.
Yeah. So, I like the cast in this, and I'm kind of cautiously optimistic.
What do you think Red Guardian's deal is? Does he have superpowers?
I think he is, slightly, like Captain America.
Because he kicks a door off, I think.
Yeah, I think that's him.
I think.
Yeah,
Unless it's just an old Russian door.
Could be an old Russian door. Yeah, I think he's probably, but maybe he's like a weird knockoff version. Because Captain America can't gain weight or get drunk.
It's true.
And they've never been able to replicate that super serum
in
the movies, at least. Uh-huh. They've done it a few times in the comics, I think. But so I think he's kind of...
He's like...
He doesn't have the anti-aging kind of high metabolism.
They did the best they could.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. Kind of like that guy from the Jessica Jones show, Nuke. Remember he was in it?
Yeah, I remember from the Jessica
Nuke.
Jones show.
Nuke!
Yeah.
So it's April here. It's May, other parts of the world.
Uh-huh.
Cautiously okay.
Okay.
Matt, who does a lot of editing for us, you know Matt.
I know Matt.
Yeah, he mentioned that, and I've seen a few other people say this since, that it feels a bit like G.I. Joe 2009.
It does a little bit,
especially that bit at the end of falling. Well,
they're all flying out of the plane or whatever it is.
Would you rather that
or
your Bourne-esque swapping passports, doing a burnout in a minivan, or a mini coupe, sorry.
Yeah, the second one, I think.
Or a mix, which seems like this will probably more likely
also be. Falling out of a plane in a Mini Cooper.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Maybe. No,
there's no guns in it.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, it might be. I guess what I would want is and what the trailer may be suggesting it is, which is a slow burn to that point.
Yeah.
Like it starts out, they're just switching guns in an apartment building or whatever. And it's a bit Bourne-esque, but then it slowly ramps up. And before you know it, they're dropping a Mini Cooper out of a plane or whatever.
And that's what the Winter Soldier is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of swapping guns and stuff.
But if you had to pick one, if we both have to pick one, I think Bourne-esque.
I'd pick Bourne-esque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe the Bourne films have a problem of building to a big finale, though.
I mean, if you recall, one of them, Clive Owen shoots a petrol tank and it blows up. or something.
Was that at the end, though?
That was at the end, I think.
Yeah. The end of every Bourne movie is he makes a phone call to the Home Office. Yes. And he's like, nice bloody dress, Senator, or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, he's on the roof! But he's gone.
How does he know I'm wearing a dress? I feel like it's going to start out kind of slow and then build to a crazy finale.
Yes, they would say
but
that.
But I still don't know if I like... No, I get it that she's, you know, better than most people at this whole secret agent biz, but she is also falling out of a plane without a parachute.
Mm, that's very true. I love that.
Maybe she'll intercept a flying Mini Cooper.
Oh, please.
Just get in the door and then...
Like Bond would.
Like Bond would, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Before we talk about Wonder Woman 84, the Snyder Cut, I feel like this is a good a time as any to bring that up.
All right, it's still going, this thing?
So Zack Snyder this week posted, like, it was like, it's like finished. Mm-hmm. It's done. And he posted like an image of the reels in a thing.
Okay.
The runtime is 3.5 hours long. According to him, though... somebody mentioned, well, this must be an assembly cut, because if it's 3.5 hours long, that's insane.
What's an assembly cut again?
Assembly cut is like the first kind of cut.
Oh, and then they cut some more out of it, and then it's the final cut.
And he said, no, the assembly cut was 5 hours long. So this is his version of Justice League.
Okay.
I mean, you want to see this, right?
I guess, sure.
Yeah.
Kind of, maybe.
There's also talk this week that maybe they refilmed like 90% of it.
Oh, right.
But who's to say? I just don't know.
There's 3.5 hours of Ray Fisher saying you should probably move, because then I do.
Me too.
In various contexts.
Yeah.
There's a Mini Cooper coming out of the sky. You should probably move.
I look, I'm definitely curious, but I'm also curious, like he's cut it together, but does that mean the special effects are done? Because I doubt it.
No, because where's he going to get the money for that?
Yeah, unless he did just pay for it out of his own money.
No.
Maybe he did.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I still feel like there's something brewing here. I don't think this is all an accident. I think this is all marketing and
do you think Warner Brothers would pay for this to be finished and edited
for
special
HBO
effects?
Max or whatever.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Then,
okay,
yeah,
maybe.
100%, yes.
Maybe
that's even a re-release to coincide with HBO Max and
whatever. That's true.
Yes. Mm. I do. I'm not saying again. I don't think that's not definite, but I think it's more than likely. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's opening day for HBO Max. Mm. It's like...
I mean, you'd get it for that, wouldn't you?
I guess.
Yeah. Even though I don't think it's coming here.
We don't get it here. Yeah.
There was also mention, and maybe this had come up before, that at the end of Justice League Part 2, Batman was supposed to die and sacrifice himself.
Ugh.
Didn't they just do that?
They just killed him. They just killed a Superman.
Yeah.
A Superman.
They were going to say a Batman. He was pretty much Batman in a Superman costume.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. But we're not going to be getting that version because he didn't film the back-to-back, et cetera, and so forth.
Right, okay. Sure.
It's weird, though, that they let him film so much of it and then stepped in. Because I think it was already rolling.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty much about to start as Batman's... Or it started, like, the week after Batman Superman came out.
Yeah, right.
Very close. Maybe it was, like, a month later.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they...
Maybe they were just like, we'll give you the money, we'll let you do your thing.
Mm.
Then it got out of hand and they're like, ooh.
We're not going to let you do your thing. No. Yeah. Okay, everyone, I've just edited this part of the podcast in because the idea was initially, it's just me, Mason's not here, it's just me, was he was going to come back, we're going to talk about the new Wonder Woman trailer and kind of put that section into the podcast. For a variety of reasons, it didn't happen. Also, he's going to work in the afternoon. Also, I've done a trailer breakdown, which is on my YouTube channel if you want to hear anything about that. So yeah, apologies, we're going to do it, and we just didn't quite get around to it. But the good news is that we talk about a whole bunch of other shit in this podcast that is just as entertaining, if not less. But we will talk about it next week. But look, if you do have any specific questions about the Wonder Woman trailer, namely, what does Mason think about it, just constantly hit him up. Hit him up as much as you can at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. He'll be answering any and all questions. He swore to me that he would make it happen, and he doesn't want to make a liar out of me. So please, at Wikipedia Brown, as many questions as you want. They can be insightful, they can be inane. He's not fast. He loves it all. All right, on with the rest of the podcast show. I'm doing the thing. Oh my goodness, Mason. Do we want to do who's been watching The Watchmen?
Yes, Watchmen? We absolutely do. Let's do who's watching the TV show Watchmen.
Spoilers.
Parentheses, James and Mason.
That's correct.
Asterisk, Weekly Planet podcast.
It's time codes if you do want to skip ahead. We're also going to be probably talking about The Mandalorian maybe briefly. I don't have that much to say about that.
Also, thank you to Paden Music, P-A-D-E-N Music on Instagram, who made up some logos.
I saw
those. Segments. They're great.
Very good.
They're also a band, it seems.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that makes sense.
Music,
Paden, as in P-A-Y-D-E-N.
P-A-D-E-N.
P-A-D-E-N. There you go. Yeah. It sounds like paid in music.
Oh, it's not, though.
It's not. No. Should we pay him in music?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. It's too late to apologize.
What is that?
It's too late. One Republic, maybe. You don't know that song?
No. Is that a new band or an old band?
It's an old band. Okay. Not super old. Uh-huh. Remember, I know every song from like 2008 to like 2015. Every like major pop hit.
Oh, great. Good teacher. For you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's great. Comes in real fucking handy. Right, so Watchmen.
Spoiler. It just came in handy then for the band One Republic or boy band, whatever they are.
So it was revealed.
Huge spoilers for Watchmen. Huge spoilers. Right now, they're coming up.
Yeah.
If you're driving your car and you, for some reason, just turn the volume down.
Yeah.
On your car, stereo volume.
Say, Siri, crash the car for me.
That's right. I've got to adjust this volume.
So Dr. Manhattan is the husband.
Cal.
Yeah. I definitely would have read this theory if I'd have been reading theories on this, and I didn't. So it was a nice kind of reveal.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I kind of just figured it out as it kind of the episode was going. I'm like, he's fucking here somewhere. Yeah, he's right. One of these people.
Well, look, I feel like if maybe we mentioned it in previous weeks, the very idea that people kept saying Dr. Manhattan is definitely on Mars, and he definitely cannot change color.
Human. Yeah.
Well, he definitely was.
And he did.
Which makes me question every other statement they've made on Watchmen.
Correct. All the things they're intentionally misleading you.
You definitely can't push a button and a couch will fall through the floor and trap you in somebody's house.
I loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that it got so many tries to work.
Terrific.
Like it's an old school villain device that has not been used in many years.
Yeah. Like, just great stuff.
Going, yeah.
And I noticed for the clip for next week, it has their meeting.
Yeah.
The real Dr. Saigon, Manhattan. Yeah. Which I guess means that the reason that they're meeting in the past and he's like, well, it turns out that we're in love and we're together is because he experiences time at all points. He experiences all points of time at the same point in time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That makes sense. Which means even if he was with Silk Spectre at the time, he could still go and have that conversation and it would be as relevant to him then as it would be in 2019.
Yeah, wild.
So I think that's really interesting, if that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But
I think Angela and Laurie Blake have some issues to work out.
Definitely.
Yeah. Because he's two-timing them somehow. He's two-timing
them somehow.
He's time two-timing them.
Yeah.
Through time.
Through time. I'm also kind of going to miss that version of her husband.
Well, yeah. I mean, she cracked his head open with a hammer.
Yeah, with the back end of a hammer.
Does that mean that he... Did Cal ever exist?
I don't think so. I think because he's got no memories of before his accident or whatever happened.
Is that a new element? Was that introduced in this episode or was it?
That's a good question.
Maybe
they mentioned an accident early on, but I don't remember.
When I saw that, when I heard that on this episode, I'm like, is that new information? Because it's very convenient if it is new information. It's genius if it isn't new information.
Agreed. What I thought was, what kind of gave away for me was when she's like, don't you want to know who it is? Uh-huh. And she, because I'm like, I want to know who it is,
right?
But then she leaves. I'm like, well, then, she knows who it is.
She knows who it is. Yeah,
yeah.
So, but apparently, there's a on the HBO website. There's something called PDpedia, which is, I think, you know, PD is Laurie Blake's FBI junior guy.
Oh, okay, right.
And he's got like he's
this is some viral marketing.
This is some viral marketing.
Love it.
Yeah,
I feel like it's 2003.
Yeah, well, on the HBO website, one of the things is like a medical report for Cal.
Oh, okay.
From back in the day. So it's his name is in this isn't Calvin Abar, it's Calvin Gilani. Patient was accompanied by SPD patrol officer Angela Abar. This is from 2009.
Right.
So 10 years ago.
Same year as the movie came out.
Patient initially refused Officer Abar's request to seek medical treatment. She conducted a background check and obtained some medical history and biographical data from previous employer, Pyramid Global Construction.
Right.
Right, that's Adrian Veidt. Because, he was found by Officer Abar wandering Bourne Laird Plaza in confused state with minor contusion on forehead, no longer visible. Patient finally agreed to consult a physician when memory issues failed to improve. Patient new to Vietnam, unemployed since April, presents with severe acute symptoms associated with dissociative fugue, no recall, identity loss. Maybe that's their cover story.
Yeah.
So maybe maybe Ozymandias has something to do with this.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he can't. Maybe Dr. Manhattan can't assume human form, but Ozymandias
built
him a clone and put his
maybe
form in it.
It's also possible that he did it to himself because there was a certain thing that he couldn't be involved in or didn't want to be involved in.
Yeah, right. Anyway, isn't that fun?
We'll find out pretty much by the time this comes out, the new episode would be out and we'll know. But
medical history, tonsillectomy, circumcision, just so you know.
Got that covered.
Problem.
It's just excess at that point, isn't it? Just get rid of the excess. Is that what he's up to?
Maybe that's how they put him in.
Yeah, you might actually not be
out
right.
Out through the skull, in through the dick.
In through the dick. So I'm really interested. We see a bit of it in the trailer for the current episode, but how the effect looks. And yeah. It looks like they're getting that same actor to play Dr. Manhattan.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But he couldn't be the guy who played him originally because in the comic he doesn't look anything like that.
That's true.
I'm assuming he completely changes his form.
Do you think they're going to use...
John Osterman, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, do you think they're going to use this actor's voice and a different facial form?
No, I think they're just going to use him completely and then...
Oh, right. Okay.
Like, it'll be his basic structure.
Okay, right.
From what I can tell.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything.
Yeah. Other revelations from that, it seems like Looking Glass survived... If you remember in the previous episode, the 7th Cavalry showed up at his safe house.
They
kill him, and he killed all of them.
Yes.
That's cool.
That is cool.
That's cool.
Do you think he's going to fight for justice now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Good. I like that guy. I like that character. Yeah.
And the big reveal that... Did you assume Lady True was going to be the villain in some way?
No.
Okay. Also, I think maybe Ozymandias may be literally trapped in that gold statue of himself somehow.
Oh, right. Well, that would be great.
Because there was a pan out, like, when he's getting sentenced to... What is he getting sentenced to? Death, probably?
Yeah, probably.
Exile, I don't know.
So he's just like trapped in a big like chocolate Easter bunny kind of situation.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I mean, you know, there's precedent for people being trapped in things.
That is certainly true. Mm. Yeah. Do you think Lady True is the bad guy?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I think it's the white supremacists. If
you
I'm
think
honest.
So?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, you might
the
be
white
right.
supremacists trying to steal Dr. Manhattan's power for themselves to turn into Dr. Manhattan's.
I wonder though if you did turn into him, that wouldn't it just change your outlook anyway? And you're like, why would I be senator? He doesn't want to be.
What if you're real racist, though?
He wants to be God, I guess. So you get that.
I don't know. Maybe that's the big reveal.
Yeah.
Maybe
I think they are going to kill Manhattan because I think it's going to be inevitable. And then there'll be a second season where they'll come back.
Because
he won't be able to see past a certain point.
There's a comic book series from many years ago. I'm sure it's still around in some respect, but it's called The Authority, which was like, you know, like Justice League, but times 10. Like, it was an image series from Warren Ellis, and it was about, you know, this super, super powerful team. And there's an issue where I think one of the villains demands one of the hero's powers and is like, I need these powers to, you know, I'm holding these hostages, give me your powers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he gains the powers, and then he realizes that with the gaining of the powers, he realizes that, you know, he's been doing things wrong his whole life, and you know, it changes his ways, and in that moment they kill him. They just cave his head in.
That's why,
wouldn't
great.
You? Yeah.
You would.
You would. You absolutely would.
Do you want to talk about Mandalorian?
Yes. In our segment, who watches the TV show The Mandalorian? (Parentheses) James Amaso _ Weekly Planet podcast.
So, I mean, they go back to Tatooine.
I feel like this is a very canny way to. Do fan service.
Yeah.
Don't do it straight away because people would be like, well, that's a bit lame. Do it episode 5.
I think my problem with this episode wasn't the fan service, is that it didn't really tell us anything about any of the characters.
That's true, yeah.
Or introduce anybody that wasn't killed.
What about Amy Sedaris? Do you think she's on the team?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Do you still maintain that he's building a team and towards the end of the season
I think he might be.
Because initially I'm like, well, they should put bloody this guy on it, the new guy, maybe the rookie's on the team. But then I'm like, well, maybe it's Ming-Na Wen's going to be on the team.
I think she still might be alive.
Yeah, I think so too.
There's been speculation that the character to go up to Ming-Na Wen's body is Boba Fett.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that.
I mean, that would make sense.
What a pack of goofs fighting those two.
Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Button heads.
You'd see them, the aftermath would be two burned bodies on the ground, and you'd be like, did they flamethrower each other or themselves?
Do you like that he's a goof?
The new one.
Yeah.
Well, he's not so much a goof, but he is, you know.
I think the helmet doesn't help.
That's true.
I think you should take it
off. I mean, you see everything in a weird blue tone with some coloured spots occasionally.
Yeah.
Doesn't help, exactly. Mm. I don't know. This also apparently lends to the lore that Jango Fett and Boba Fett are not real Mandalorians.
Yes.
And they never were because they never take their helmets off.
Yes.
Also
in the Clone Wars, the series.
Yes.
They take them off, their helmets off all the time.
That's what I'm talking
Not
about.
Not just them.
Oh, all the Mandalorians do. Okay, right.
It's a who's who. It's a bonanza of people taking
maybe
helmets
the,
off.
Do you think maybe the Mandalorian, just a bit of an Uggo?
Yeah, that could be it.
Or a lady, as I've predicted.
Uggo lady, yeah. But no, I think maybe it's this certain sect of Mandalorians, or because maybe the purge that happened.
Yeah,
this
right.
This is like a new thing.
Because
it's never been a thing.
That's true.
It turns out in the past.
Okay.
Anyway, who does watch the Mandalorian?
Did you like... Amy Sedaris as the mechanic.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to be on the team? I think they're going to put her on the team.
Nah.
Do you think Baby Yoda's going to be on the team?
No, I think they're going to get rid of him. Someone, not get rid of him, but like
Put him down.
Yeah. Well, somebody mentioned... Oh, I wish I had
Take him behind the sheet. Take him to the glue factory.
I wish I had this in front of me. Somebody tweeted at me. It might have been a few people that they think someone's going to turn up and take Baby Yoda, either Ahsoka, who's from the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, who's a Jedi,
yes,
or like Luke Skywalker or somebody like that.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Because he needs to go somewhere like that. You can't just leave him with this buffoon.
That's true. Yeah. He's just leaving him on the ship all the time. Yeah. And then going off into dangerous situations.
Exactly.
If that is the case, do you think we'll see a young Mark Hamill?
I'd say it's more likely to be Ahsoka, because that's like Dave Filoni's like character.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
So that'll be the first appearance of this character in live action?
Correct. Ashley Eckstein's the voice, I think. Okay. But she could probably just do it in person.
Yeah, right.
She
huh?
looks enough like her.
Okay. It wouldn't be a problem. Orange.
Orange, yeah.
She's orange, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a real Geordie Shore or Jersey Shore situation. Right. Situation.
It's the situation.
Ah, oh, what happened
Remember
to that
the situation?
Guy?
You should Google it.
Just I know who he is.
Yeah.
Apparently he's the most reasonable one now. Like the guy, like you see him now, and he's like, that guy really got it together.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you want to be after an appearance on one of those shows.
They all the made most millions. Reasonable. Yeah. They all made millions.
Well,
anyways, do you read another things? Because we are in that segment of the show. I do have a thing.
Tell me your thing.
It's a comic by James Tynion. The fourth?
James Tynion the fourth.
Yes.
I always
it's Tynion, is it?
It's Tynion, but I look at him, I always look at that name and think James Tinny Man.
Ah, yes.
He's always sinking tinnies.
That's people in Ned Kelly suits. We push them off piers. That's what sinking tinnies means.
That's right.
Yeah. Art by Werther Del Edera.
Oh.
It's called Something is Killing the Children. And it's basically there's a monster in a small town that's killing children. And it's kind of a Stranger Things X situation.
I reckon the monster's killing
it
the
is.
Children.
No, it is killing the children. It's not question mark.
Oh,
it's something
okay, right,
is
right,
killing
right.
the children.
Yes.
Definitively.
Huh.
Yeah. And there's like a monster hunter in town to stop the monster. And it's good. It's like three issues in. I think it's going to be five. And I really like it so far.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah.
Mm. There's a new season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime.
I just started that this week.
What do you think of it?
Initially, I'm like, I don't even know what this is. I'm like, is this a detective show? What the fuck
Oh, yeah,
is
right,
this?
Right, right.
But no, it's early day stand-up. And
yeah,
I like
there's
it
There's an appearance from, who's in the first episode? There's a, it's Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, Lenny Bruce. Well, he's in it more than
he
shows up.
And,
it's not the real Lenny Bruce. He died.
He did die. It's true, yeah. But it's interesting to see.
Do they name him as Lenny Bruce? In the first?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, because I didn't realize it was Lenny Bruce to like six episodes in. And they're like, it's Lenny Bruce. I'm like, this is fucking Lenny Bruce? I shouldn't have been editing while I.
No, they definitely go and they go to the comedy club and he's introduced as Lenny Bruce. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's interesting to see quite early stand up because it's not quite.
No.
It's not quite there yet. Even you know, pioneer
yes.
Lenny Bruce, it's kind of like. I saw this thing and then I thought of a hypothetical scenario in which they would have a conversation and I think it would go like this.
Yeah.
It's like, we.
You can just.
We get it now.
You can
like,
just
we
do
get
it.
The structure of imagining a thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it anymore. But I think that's a fun show. So
yeah,
I'm watching that.
Definitely. And it's. Because it definitely, as you see, this is like the bones of comedy that have been built off.
Yes.
Because it's all that stuff is like shorthand now. You know what I mean? You can just launch
right.
into whatever and people kind of can keep up these days.
Yes.
Anyways, do you know what it's time for?
Is it time for letters? I was also going to say I've been rewatching some Colin Farrell movies.
What?
I just saw an interview with him. It was Colin Farrell having a conversation with Hugh Grant on YouTube. And I'm like, he's very interesting.
Two European boys.
So I watched In Bruges.
Mm, love it.
Yep, it's a good movie.
It's terrific.
And there's a movie that came out in the early 2000s called Intermission, which I haven't – I've got it
I know
ready
that.
To watch. But it's like the iconic Irish movie of that era. It's like their Trainspotting kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to watch that.
That sounds good.
Because it's one of those ones where like, it was like every 16-year-old boy's favorite Irish kid's favorite movie.
Oh, my God.
When it came out.
And it's good?
I don't know yet. I haven't watched it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But it's got a young Colin Farrell.
I love Colin Farrell.
I think he's good also. Bit of a bad boy.
Bit of a bad boy.
You should also watch that conversation with Hugh Grant. It's funny.
I will.
And they're also kind of like, because they're both post-fame.
Yes.
Like they're not as famous.
Oh,
like,
Hugh Grant seems so relieved by that.
Yeah.
I really enjoy
it. Like it's that they were really famous for, you know, a couple of years.
Yeah.
And now they've gone beyond it and they just act because it's a job now.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's new heartthrobs. You know, Timothy Olyphant.
Yes. Timothy Chalamet.
Very true.
The classic one was Letters, oh letters, we love you. Here right now, we're
going to
do letters.
Sorry, I lost my letters and
oh, no.
I wasn't ignoring you. I was trying to bring it back up.
It seems like you were ignoring me, James. Let's go to the tape. Oh, sorry, I wasn't ignoring you. I was just lost the letters. No, I was wrong. Sorry, James. So I made an assumption there.
We've opened too many 7-Ups in here.
Right. This room veritably stinks of 7-Up. You know that 7-Up tang?
So if you do want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter or WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com. What do you got?
Okay, this is from Erin Hadley.
Hot stuff.
Listening to your podcast has made me half the man I was, it says. Since I was young, I struggled
with
obesity.
Did you get the reverse? Oh, I thought you meant like the reverse leg surgery where you kind of, I'm too tall. And you know,
oh, yeah, for
doesn't
sure.
Doesn't matter. Just keep. Yeah.
So, Clooney should get that.
Clooney
or the opposite of that.
Just for his head.
Yeah, just for his head. Over the last couple of decades, this has gotten worse and has dramatically affected my health and overall quality of life. At the beginning of this year, I've weighed more than I ever have in my entire life, 335 pounds.
Bloody hell.
That's 152 kilos. Mm. I sat myself down, told myself I needed to make some lifestyle changes. I don't want to make the story too long, so we'll just say that I made a plan and stuck with it. I now weigh 195 pounds. That's insane.
Incredible.
Yeah, right? How did I do it? Well, in part, I decided to do some jogging, which I knew would be a painful experience, so I decided to distract myself from the pain by doing something at the same time that was more painful, listening to the Weekly Planet podcast. I didn't preview this before I read it. He got us. All joking aside, I love the podcast and listen to it every week. That's a fun, refreshing ride. Anyway, he says, I wanted to thank you for being part of my journey this last year, as I've worked to avoid too many big sandwiches and have reaped the benefit of having to get some different pants. He's put the two greatest memes we've ever produced into this letter. So that's,
this guy is like
the
human equivalent of the planets aligning.
Right?
And like a pentagram opening or whatever happens in films.
Anyway, he's a little timeline. Look at that.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's impressive. Yeah. It's a series of side views.
He does have different pants. Looks really good.
Anyway, congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's more than 100 pounds.
I know.
It's like a child. It's a weight of a child.
Yes.
Not even a little child as well.
Yeah.
Regular size one.
Oh, man.
That's incredible.
That's really great.
Can he be the official weight loss guy of the podcast? Yes, he can.
100%.
Yeah.
No, that is so great. That's really great to hear. And I'm glad we could help in some tiny way.
Here's one more. Here's some more life events.
I love life events.
Wedding bells. Thanks for helping this kick off, guys.
Ding, ding.
This is from Mike Germania. You might remember him. We proposed to his girlfriend.
Me and you.
On the podcast.
We went out there. Yeah, oh, I we went to their house.
Yeah.
Will you marry all of us, we said.
That's right.
All three of us got down on a knee.
Hey, mates, last night I had the best night of my life. I was able to marry my best friend, Caitlin. It was such an amazing night. I just want to take a minute to thank you guys for being there from the beginning. I must have had 50 people tell me last night how they went and listened to you the proposal after they heard about it.
Really?
So they went back and listened to the... So look, we'll take those listens.
Absolutely.
We'll take those
will.
Downloads.
How many do you think stayed?
If everybody could subscribe. If you get all your wedding guests to subscribe.
When was that? A couple of years ago, probably?
That
episode? It's all right, you don't have to.
No, it was episode 200 and something.
That's right, a couple of years then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
That's amazing.
Good
right?
stuff happening today.
Yes.
No more bad news, anybody.
No, just
this is
news.
All good things forever.
It's good news.
Yeah.
Look at a bloody wedding. Having
oh
a great
my
time.
Goodness.
Having a great old time. Love it.
I should get married. Oh wait. You should
Let's
get
go
married.
To the tape.
Oh, why did I do this? Oh.
What's that a recording of? That's not from the show.
That's from me opening.
That's you at the wedding.
That's me opening too many 7-Ups.
Okay. Well, we've all got regrets, don't we?
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. This is from Cody Michael Welter. What are the chances that the story of Black Widow takes place in one alternate universe timeline explored in Endgame and the post-credit scene is our timeline Hawkeye appearing to take her back? I say pretty good chances. Yeah, okay. What do you think of that? I don't mind that.
Run it through again one more time.
Alternate timeline. In like one of the ones they created in Endgame, Hawkeye comes through and goes, "You're in my timeline now, babe."
Oh, right.
Too confusing? No, they're kind of past that point, aren't
they? I think they are. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so, but I wouldn't hate that.
So this Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
At the end of this, somebody grabs her out of time.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know, because you'd need a device to make it. Oh, what if she dies at the end?
Mm.
What if she seemingly dies at the end of this timeline? This movie.
Yeah.
So then...
Then they can get her.
Then they can get her because it doesn't affect this timeline. It's a real Free Jack situation.
Free Jack.
Where they pulled Emilio Estevez out of the car crash before he dies and then they bring him to the future where Mick Jagger's going to put his brain into a Ned Kelly robot. Like in the movie Ned Kelly featuring Mick Jagger as Ned Kelly.
I haven't seen that one.
Which one, Free Jack or Ned Kelly?
Both.
Oh, okay, right.
Apparently that Ned Kelly movie is garbage.
Yeah. I mean, it's set in the Free Jack universe. Why would it be any good?
Yeah, that's a pretty good workaround.
Yeah, that's actually, true. Yeah.
thing that you said.
The problem there is it takes away. Well, I mean, first of all, you'd need a reason for them to be like, "Hey, come into this universe for some reason." And it also it kind of removes some narrative weight if you can be like, "Well, if anybody dies, we just take them out of a universe in which they died."
But even though they can do that definitively,
yeah, they absolutely can. Yeah,
they've talked about it a lot. Yeah, we'll see. Yes. Some 21st century dead. Sorry.
No, I'd prefer to be a 21st century dad.
That's me and probably Levins. Mm. He's probably more so him because he's DJing, obviously.
Yeah, he's a 21st century dad.
Curious if you guys got any further in Fallen Order, and if so, what are your thoughts about the rest of it? Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I did finish it. Did you finish it?
Finish what, sorry?
Fallen Order. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
I haven't finished it.
I'm not going to spoil it because there's some pretty big spoilers in it. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay.
I've experienced like some minor glitches and I definitely preferred not fighting the bugs and the monsters and just stormtroopers.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's good. I really liked it. And I really hope they do a sequel of some sorts.
Did you get better at parrying?
No, not really.
Neither have I, really.
Yeah. Yeah. But because I relied too much on my force powers. Then when I got to the last boss, I'm like, most of these don't work here. Right. I'm in trouble.
You would think that they... Because initially...
You kind of got to catch them off guard.
Well, exactly. And there are some initial, you know, battles in the game where you're fighting a vastly more powerful Sith people than you. And so it's a foregone conclusion that you're going to lose against them because you don't have the Force powers yet.
Yes.
But you'd think by the end
you'd
be on more equal footing, but you're kind of not.
That's right.
What was your favorite poncho?
I warmed up to the ponchos.
Did you?
Initially I was like, No, I didn't really change it. I just kind of kept the default one.
Nice.
Yeah. You?
Yeah, I also kept the default, the jacket.
Good. Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah. Did you change your lightsaber color?
Yeah, I went
orange.
Orange, yeah.
I like green. Green's for me.
I understand.
Green's the life for me. I don't know what that means. Actually, we've got one more email. This was a request from last week. This is from Looper Ward again.
Oh my goodness.
Hey guys, to follow up with your question, yes, my real name is Looper, and the origin of my name is unknown to me because it is a family name. My great grandfather's name was also Looper. I worked in retail for a few years in college and often got the question of how I got my name, so I started making up stories. My favourite story is that my mum gave birth to me on a roller coaster named The Looper. I like that one.
They didn't stop it? They just kept it going.
Apparently,
because birth can go for many hours.
Many hours. Yeah. Maybe it's one of the situations like the Melbourne Star, the Ferris wheel. Maybe you can just say it got stuck.
Yes.
Right up the top.
Yes.
You know? Thank you, Looper.
Great stuff. It's good to know.
It is good to know
things. Yeah.
It is good to know that there is no definitive origin.
True.
That makes it more mysterious.
Mm.
I think if he was like...
Like the movie Looper.
Exactly. I think if it's like Wolverine's name.
Mm.
Or Wolverine's origin. You know, if it's if we learn too much about it, it's not interesting anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you want to... tell people too much about this show at the end of it?
Yes.
Good.
So people will lose interest in it. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes.
Thank you for telling your friends about it, whether it be at a wedding or a non-wedding scenario.
Two events.
Hopefully everybody will like it and subscribe it and give it a nice review. James, do you have
a
nice review?
This is from Avrg.
Oh, so this is definitely a wedding guest.
Lovely bloke.
Hello. I love... good for you, guys. I love you. Love you, podcast.
It says lovely blokes.
Oh, my God. The Nutbush. The Nutbush is playing. Let's all dance. Did you know Americans don't instinctively dance the Nutbush at every...
But it's a Tina Turner song.
Social event. I know, but apparently it's like an almost exclusively
Australian
thing.
So I don't
have
to do it.
No.
Thank fuck. Been listening for a few... I hate the Nutbush.
I also hate the Nutbush.
Get out of here, Nutbush. Been listening for a few years now.
Go to the city limits. Leave the city limits.
Agreed.
In my opinion.
I'd rather dance to the Tina Turner song, We Don't Need Another Hero, from Mad Max 3.
Yeah. And then when it says Thunderdome, you pretend you're a Thunderdome. You interpretive dance to it.
Written many a five-star review that have subsequently vanished and will eagerly await new episodes until the heat death of the universe.
Ooh.
So, yeah, again, you may have reviewed in the past and it may have disappeared at the start, so you can chuck, if you could chuck that back in, it helps greatly. It can even be a short. We got a whole bunch of short ones this week that were just like, cool.
This week, and it may be due to reviews or downloads or something, we were one of Spotify's podcasts of the decade.
Doesn't make sense.
It's an algorithm error, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but... And thank we'll you take to, it. Thank you to everybody who's been sharing their Spotify things that they've been listening to, and a lot of them are like exclusively us or a bunch of other podcasts that are on the network that the people love.
Very exciting.
That was so nice, all those people who sent those through. Yeah.
Old stuff.
This podcast is by, this review is just by Cool. And it says, cool podcast, 5 stars, cool, exclamation
that
mark.
That is definitely also a wedding review.
It can be just short as that.
Yeah, or as long as you like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you're doing the nut bush and you're like, God, I'm bored with this, but it's still going for 3.5 minutes, you can be on the dance floor at a wedding. Doing a review make of our podcast. Happen. We would appreciate that.
Exactly.
If you want to contact us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. We've got all our commentaries. If you'd like to download the commentaries there, you can absolutely do that. Or if you want to buy the tape, you can do that. You can do whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
You can stream it. You can download it. You can do other things, presumably.
Thank you.
You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can look at all the other podcasts on the Planet Broadcasting Network. You can sign up to the newsletter from the great Rob Collings. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter.
How did you do it?
Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, or on Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau. If you'd like to see those review logos or anything else that I put on Instagram, you're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
I am.
If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies.
Yes.
Chuck in a buck. We would definitely appreciate that.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. It does cost a lot for all these 7-ups.
You know it.
You know what I mean? And if you want to
get a bigger bin.
For all the 7-ups.
Yeah.
You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description if you want to purchase something there.
Yes.
Through us, for example, a 7-up box set. It's just...
It's Fido Dido.
It's Fido Dido and Cool Spots.
Cool Spot video games.
And they're presumably spin-off movies and team-ups and so on and so forth. It's Cool Spot on one side. It's Fido Dido on the other side.
It was a platformer, the Vido. Of course it was. I just looked it up now.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, great stuff. Anyways.
It is the greatest. That's the greatest stuff. We've got t-shirts on tpublic.com. Just search for The Weekly Planet.
Please.
Thank you to The Brute and Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. Congratulations to everyone who got married this week.
Yes, well done.
Yeah.
And everyone who didn't.
Yeah.
That's still good.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. It is still good. I was going to say a catchphrase. Sorry.
Wow. You should say your catchphrase.
All right. What is my... Who ate all my biscotti?
Yes, he's done it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
I completely blanked
there. Oh, my goodness.
Been a long time between bowls of biscotti.
That's right. Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Should we build you some sort of 7-Up based catchphrase?
I hate this.
That's really good. We could even make that like the new Planet Broadcasting tag at the end of everybody's episodes. I hate this. Anyway, bye everyone. See you next week.
I hate this.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.